parfaitement, sans accent.
So you won't have any reasons to fail your French class this semester.
Écoutez le Friday Franco Show
de 13h à 14h à CJLO 1690 AM.
This is Ray G. This is Franchise. We're from the Southeast Cartel. And you're tuned into Beats from the East on CJLO Radio. Yes, sir.
Napakasarap ng buhay kung mayroon kang kaibigan at tunay. Ano bang kalain mo? Kahit di na wasto, andun pa rin tayo para sa isa't isa. Kahit ang buhay sumusuko na, sa lahat ng bagay karamay ka. I ain't gonna lie to say I'm shit without my homeboy.
Kakaibang nadarama, hindi mawawala. Sa langit ay kasama ka, tangay-tangay ng musika. Kaibigan di maglalaho, kahit ako ay problema do. Umulan man na umaraw to, kayo ang sandigan ko at walang nagbago. Alam kong nandyan kayo, ramdam ang kalinga nyo. Parte kayo ng buhay ko, biyaya ang tulad nyo. Kaya talina't simulan na, sa akin ay sumama ka. Sa hirap at sa ginhawa, tayo ay laging sama-sama.
Napakasarap ng buhay kung mayroon kang kaibigan na tunay. Ano bang kalain mo? Kahit di na wasto, andun pa rin tayo para sa isa't isa. Kahit ang buhay sumusuko na, sa lahat ng bagay karamay ka. I ain't gonna lie to say I'm shit without my homeboy. Close homies always keep it real. Through hard times, man, they know the drill. Kick back, we be chillin', roll the weed and hit it. And when the beat drop, we be working on music. We do the same thing every day, cause when I'm with them, everything feels great. And my problems slowly fade away. When I look up the sky, I reminisce about the good days. Damn, and it feels so good with my homies. Still rockin' them Chuck T's with my homie. You know we easy, believe me, baby. We gon' bring good music till the day we stop breathing. We on the way to success. Hold up, baby mama, I don't need no stress. Don't get me wrong, though, I ain't trying to impress ya. It's right or die, baby, and you know that the family my home. Napakasarap ng buhay kung mayroon kang kaibigan na tunay. Ano bang kalain mo? Kahit di na wasto, andun pa rin tayo para sa isa't isa. Kahit ang buhay sumusuko na, sa lahat ng bagay karamay ka. I ain't gonna lie to say I'm shit without my homeboy.
Hindi ba't napakasarap ng palagay? Sa'yo sumasabay, kaibigan mong tunay. Ang daladalay, pakikisama ng walang hanggan. At uunawain ka kahit on the line. Katutulungan pag sumasabay sa buhay. Sama-sama lang kayong lahat sumasabay sa buhay. Halos buhay ang taya, huwag mo lang kakantiin yung tipon. Di ka na nga pinuri, lalo ka pa rin aasahin. Sarap talagang kasabay ang mga homies. At di nawawala, andyan pa rin ang mga homies. Sila yung di ka iiwanan sa bakbakan, patagisan sa kainang palakasan, halakhakan. At kung minsan may pikunan, pero ayos lang kasi andun ang kapatiran. Na hindi malilimutan anuman ang pinagdaanan at hindi tatalikuran anuman ang katayuan, kaibigan.
Nice shit without my homeboy.
Listen, the guys who go through your fridge without asking, the dudes who laugh at you when you trip and fall, the ones who tell you to snap out of it when you're down, those are the guys that got you. The ones who ride with you to the very end.
Napakasarap ng buhay kung mayroon kang kaibigan na tunay. Ano bang kalain mo? Kahit di na wasto, andun pa rin tayo para sa isa't isa. Kahit ang buhay sumusuko na, sa lahat ng bagay karamay ka. I ain't gonna lie to say I'm shit without my homeboy.
Shit without my homeboy.
Woo! Yes, yes, y'all. That, my friends, was Southeast Cartel from Toronto. And the track was called Homies, and you should pick that up on their site. It's a free download. You just gotta register with your email address in order to have VIP access, and you will be able to download that track. Homies from my homies, the Southeast Cartel. Yes, they've been on our show before. And, you know, I hope to get them back as well. So we're out of time. Unfortunately, we're a little bit over time. However, thank you to everybody for tuning in. Shouts out once again to all the moms out there. Eat a lot. Treat your moms well, guys, because your moms are all the moms in the world are special. And this weekend, this Sunday, is their day. You should be doing this for them all the time, all year round, as a matter of fact. But this Sunday is when the whole world does it together. So shouts out to all the moms out there. Shouts out to Tim. Shouts out to the Far East Movement and Megan Lee. I'd planned to play your music tonight, especially Megan Lee's brand new track. However, we ran out of time because I just kept peppering my guest Chow Mein with questions, because I liked his answers. I liked how he elaborated, and he seems like a very intelligent guy, so I figured let's just keep going with this because I really enjoyed the interview. So you're going to get to hear those tracks next week instead. And once again, thank you to Chow Mein for joining us tonight. San Jose represent, and let's be back here, guys, for more Beats from the East, my brother from the East. And up next, it's Sparkling Introspection, a show for women, by women, and about women. And they're going to be discussing body image tonight, so it's definitely not one to miss. Check it out, guys. I'm out of here. 5000 G.
CJLO is a college community radio station broadcasting out of the Loyola campus of Concordia University in Montreal, Quebec. We broadcast at 1690 kHz on the AM dial and have a transmitter with 1000 watts of power. The views expressed on air do not reflect CJLO. Any views expressed during a show are those of the DJ and not of the station as a whole or its management. If you would like to find out more, please visit our website at cjlo.com. Thanks for your support and keep listening to CJLO 1690 AM, Montreal's underground radio.
For CJLO News, this is Ahmed Mushtahid. Due to multiple complaints over noise from outdoor summer events in Parc Jean Drapeau, the City of Montreal has reached an agreement with South Shore Saint-Lambert. With the exception of a few events, the new noise level will be 75 decibels. Concert promoters will be required to measure noise both inside and outside the site. An inspection team with the Ville-Marie Borough will also conduct periodic noise tests during concerts, according to Montreal Gazette. Saint-Lambert residents can learn more about the noise limits during an information session scheduled to take place on June 27th at the city's multipurpose center at 81 Hooper Street. In national news, up until the year 2013, Canada had a lifetime restriction preventing men who have sex with men from donating blood. Since then, Health Canada has approved to grant this group of men a deferral period of 5 years for blood donation. In 2016, the deferral period was reduced to 1 year. Recently, Health Canada has approved a request by Canadian Blood Services and Emma Quebec to reduce this deferral period from 1 year to 3 months, a significant step towards eliminating the deferral period entirely. The announced change is based on an analysis that revealed that there will be no increased risk to the safety of blood products intended for transfusion. The possibility of transmitting HIV by transfusion is extremely low at present, namely one chance in 23 million in Quebec, and the announced change will not alter this risk in any significant way. The change, which will apply both in Quebec and in other Canadian provinces, will ensure safe, non-discriminatory blood donations. Uber and Lyft drivers have been fighting for years for the right to unionize and negotiate better pay. Some drivers for those ride-hailing giants have decided to protest the declining wages. Demonstrations took place on Wednesday, May 8 in 10 U.S. cities, including Chicago, Los Angeles, and New York, as well as some European cities like London. The protests arrived just ahead of Uber's initial public stock offering, which is planned for Friday, May 10. Uber hopes to raise $9 billion and is expected to be valued at up to $91.5 billion. It's not the first time drivers for ride-hailing apps have staged protests. Strikes were planned in several cities last month, although the disruption to riders appeared to be minimal. To hear the newscast and learn more about the news team, visit cjlo.com/news.
And I stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition, and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets the traffic starts jumping, with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living. Barely getting by, it's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind.
Hello!
That was a little unnecessary, long time. How are you? Hello, gorgeous divas. I bid you a good evening. This is Erdin, the gorgeous golden dragon, and you're listening to Sparkling Introspection on CJLO 1690 AM. We started a little late, but you know, it is what it is, but that is okay. And, you know, on Sparkling Introspection, we talk about anything that is concerning, confusing, and intriguing women. And we have another hot, important topic coming to you tonight. Today, it's just me. Christina is not here. Before we start the episode, I just want to give a trigger warning. Tonight, we'll be talking about body image, and there will be mentions of eating disorders. So please take care of yourself, and if you need to step out and take a breather, please do. And there is some mild swearing in our interview, so I do apologize in advance. But yeah, let's get started. So today I wanted to talk about body image, and I think a lot of women, a lot of young women, and you know, other like men, etc., non-binary people too, I think we all struggle with body image at some point in our lives. Well, I think it's unfair, and most of the times we struggle with it because we want to fit this certain narrative that is told on our bodies, you know? And it seems like there is a constant talk of body image in the media these days. I mean, it's been happening for years, but these days it's like a lot, you know? A lot of encouraging things and addressing the lack of diversity in the media. But the fact is, as much as talk there is, body image issues are still very common. And it's still affecting a lot of people. And I think especially for me, it's been so ingrained into my life. I have a hard time imagining a day without our bodies being scrutinized, whether it's by myself or by others, you know. I personally have had a lot of struggle with my body image. And it's been that way ever since I can remember. I grew up in a really big family surrounded by a lot of powerful women, and I was really close to these two of my cousins. They're both older than me. They're really amazing, beautiful women. And we have a group chat now because they live in Mongolia and I live here. We have a group chat and we talk like almost every day. But one thing that like shocks me and like honestly irritates me is that our conversation is so focused on body image. Like my cousin, one of them will be like, oh my God, I look so ugly today. I feel so like this. And then she'll like send a picture and then like compare herself to this like photoshopped Instagram Godzilla, you know. And it's like, it's not like that. And as much as I want to be there to support my cousins and like dispel all these like myths about how women's bodies should be, it personally affects me. Because body image issues and body dysmorphia is still something that I struggle with every day. And looking at the chats, I was going through the chats today, and this has been something that's been on my mind for a while. And I was talking to my co-worker, Florencia, and I was just, like, thinking about, you know, like, you know, all the things that women go through, and I felt so validated in hearing other women around me who I consider and I aspire, and they inspire me to say the same thing, that they struggle with the same things, you know. It doesn't make the pain go away, but it makes me feel like I'm not an alien, you know, that I shouldn't be blamed because I don't have a thigh gap, and you should never be blamed for that. But so when I was growing up with my two cousins, and I grew up in Mongolia most of, like, until I was like 10 years old, I, you know, a lot of the times people made comments about our bodies, and one of my cousins, let's call her A, she was like a chubby kid, and something that I noticed around her, and I spent a lot of time with her because I lived with both of my cousins for some time because my parents were out of town, and people constantly jabbed at her about her weight. Her parents, my aunt and uncle, told her she was fat. They made comments about her eating, compared her to like me and my cousin. And it was just so wild, like, actually hearing someone's own parent tell them, like, you can't eat that, you're gonna get fat. And, like, I don't know if my aunt or uncle, like, meant harm, but I think a lot of the times we don't understand how much weight our actions carry and our words carry. And my other cousin, on the other hand, she was really tall and slender, and she modeled. And it's so shocking. In my culture, in Mongolian culture, being skinny is so praised. That is the way to be. And even though my other cousin, she was skinny, slender, model, everything, people still made so many comments about her. I, like, literally at family gatherings, I would hear people say to her, she was so flat, she had no boobs, you know, and her hips were too wide, but like not wide enough in the way that's good. She was too tall, her ears were too big. And comments about me were made too, because when I was younger, I was quite skinny, but when I hit preteens, I started gaining weight, and like I personally was okay with that. But people and like my family members made comments about me being like, oh, you were so much better when you were skinnier. Like, what are you eating? What's in the Canadian food? I was like, there's a lot of stuff in Canadian food, but also I'm just eating because I love eating. And maybe it's a little emotional eating. I don't know, you know, I was going through stuff. But when I was growing up and hearing these comments, I didn't realize the impact it would have on us growing up. And now that I look at my relationship with my body and look back at the chats and the conversations that I have with my family members, my sister, my cousins, my mom, there is a lot of emphasis on the ideal body. And it really, really breaks my heart when my cousin sends a photo of this unrealistic person and says, this is how I want to be. When she sends a selfie and says, I look so ugly today. Look at my double chin. I need to get a new detox tea. I need to drink laxatives. I need to be on a constant diet. It really breaks my heart because her value and the reason why I love her and I want her in my life is so much more than that. But I realize I cannot take that away from her. And I have no right to take that away from her because this is her journey. And for so long, I think women have been governed by other people, and we've been, our bodies have been policed by other people. And I will not be one of those people. But all I can really do is like tell my cousin that she's beautiful, like constantly validating her, constantly telling her, complimenting her. And I will do that because you know what? That's my job, you know, that's my job. So I want to use this space, you know, reflecting on my chats and my personal conversations with women in my life. I want to use this space to, like I said, validate other people who are listening to this show tonight. You know, let there be a space when you feel like you're not the only one. And I know a lot of the times you see things on the media that say, oh, you're perfect, you're fine. But it's so nice hearing people's personal stories, that people are struggling the same way that you are. And it's not you, it's really the society who's really making you feel like absolute shit. That's why I want to dedicate this episode to body image. Yeah. And I'm very happy that we're doing this. And we have lots of good testimonies, experiences, audio calls from my friends. And we'll be discussing some influences celebrities have over us and how we can get over that hurdle and all the good stuff. But before we get into that, we have to have a little ad break. But we'll be back and we'll start discussing. You are listening to Sparkling Introspection on CGLO 1690 AM. And we will be back.
For CGLO News.
Are you looking to advertise your upcoming event at an affordable price? CGLO's got you covered. From on-air ads to website banners and even live broadcasts, we got it all. Check out www.cjlo.com/advertise for more information and the ways we can help you promote your event. CJLO, we're getting louder.
Dirty, adjective, definition, covered or marked with an unclean substance. Work, noun, definition, activity involving mental or physical effort done in order to achieve a purpose or result. Dirty work, show. Definition, a collection of new and classic jams, accented by the semi-coherent ramblings of your lovable host, Dennis. Dirty work, Thursdays from 4 to 6 p.m., only on CJLO. Do it.
Boom, and we are back. You are listening to Sparkling Introspection on CJLO 1690 AM. I am the gorgeous, the golden dragon, Erdin. Thank you so much for joining us. And before the break, we were discussing a little bit about body image. And, you know, I'm not going to claim to be, you know, an expert on this topic. I don't think anybody's an expert because we all have different experiences. And I don't have a lot of stats. I will give you some stats, but I don't have a lot. But I really, like I said, I really want to use this space to say that, you know, you're beautiful and we should talk about this. And I don't think there is enough representation in the media of women of color, of, you know, like a different body, diversity, disabled bodies, you know, scars. This is just some things that are just kind of like filtered out and left out. And, you know, the media is a dirty, dirty world. And, you know, I want to brighten that, you know, sparkle that a little bit, you know. But yes, so because I had my own experiences of body issues, like a little bit of body dysmorphia, and even to this day, I have the same feelings. And I think a lot of women and men can relate to this because it's this, like, stupid perfect body ideal that is put on us and sold to us aggressively in the media and in our environments. And this is perpetrated by our closed ones, our families, friends, and they don't even realize sometimes how harmful they're being. But the fact is they do it. And I think we lack a lot of safe space to talk about it, you know, just like have a shared moment of just like, you know, being validated. And because I knew that my, like, experiences and my cousin's experiences weren't, you know, weren't unique, right, you know, I wanted to ask my friends what their experiences were, you know? And so I just, like, called, messaged all my friends, bunch of friends, and I was like, hey, can you please send me a voice note of what your body, like, what your relationship with your body is, and is it different from how it was when you were growing up? And I really want to thank all my friends who took the time out of their days to send me a voice note, to share their stories. I know it's not always the easiest to kind of reflect on their journey, but thank you so much. So let's just get into it. Let me try to play some cool voice notes, you know, from my friends. This is from my friend Zoe Kirshner.
Okay, as of today, I feel more in love with my body than I ever have before and more in tune with it. Compared to when I was younger, I felt that my body was working against me in pursuit of what I wanted to look like and how I thought I should look and what I thought my body needed to be like, look like and act like. But after years of reworking how I think and view bodies and just people in general and like living, that I feel super in love with my body and feel that I have learned how to listen to it and just not feel so angry at it. Yeah, so I think that how I see myself has changed, or how I've seen my body has changed a lot since I was younger, and that not every day is the same, but it's overall much better than it once was.
Next up is my friend Grace, who's an amazing, sparkling superstar diva.
So when I was younger, I definitely dealt with the same bullshit of like wanting to be tiny, and weight loss was always on my to-do list. But thankfully, as I got older, I started listening to amazing women and non-binary people who really deconstructed that societal pressure to be a certain way. So that's something that I always come back on and have to remind myself of when I catch myself like slipping into those patterns of being like, I should lose weight. So now my relationship with my body, is really, really related to my mental health. And I work out because it helps with my ADHD and anxiety, and I genuinely enjoy it. So I feel really strong, and I like that my body is able to do that for me. So now I feel I have a really positive relationship with my body most of the time. But obviously there's like that constant work to fight fat phobia and the standards of beauty and all the like super boring bullshit that has been internalized. But yeah.
Body, my body, my body.
Do we not all love that intro or what? That is amazing. I love this. This is from my friend Chadia. So let's see what she has to say.
Hey, I have come to the point in my life right now. I am so in love with my body in a sense that I am super aware of every kind of feature and every roll and every jiggle and stretch mark that has been blessed to be on my body, you know? And when I think of when I was younger, I wore a lot of clothes that would hide certain parts of my body. I felt very embarrassed and ashamed. And, you know, I look back at photos of myself, and what I saw in the mirror is not what I'm currently seeing in these photos. But yeah, no, I'm just so in love with my body right now. And I'm able to be so in love with my body because I've surrounded myself with positive people, positive, you know, sources through media, of music, of film, theater, books, a lot of therapy, and a lot of just acknowledgement of, you know, inner self-hatred. You know, I had to really come to an understanding of the reasons why I hated certain parts of my body, and I had to just kind of break myself from this understanding of what is beauty and what is beauty within our society. And the majority, I mean, all the time, it's these European kind of standards, Eurocentric features that have been placed on women to have. But I've been in love to be in love with my big nose, thick lips, big black eyes. Like, I am in love with my titties and everything. And that is a part, I would not change anything about that. Granted, I do have my days where I feel very low. I have my days where I, you know, the mind is the brain is such a strong organ. And it can really fuck you over. And, you know, there will be days where I will see something in the mirror and I'll obsess over it. But I use the tools and the things that I've learned of people that have so much self-confidence, people that have encouraged me to be who I am and to be super unapologetic. I'm able to tap into those tools of myself and to tap into the tools that the people have provided for me in order to kind of gain back or come back into reality and just accepting who I am, because, you know, there's no one that I could think, there's no one that I'd rather be than me, because I'm amazing, and I'm fantastic, and I'm a motherfucking queen.
Yes, you are. You are fantastic, you are beautiful, and you are a queen. I love that kind of body positivity, like self-positivity, self-love, self-confidence. You know, sometimes we lack it, but you know what? You just climb back up and get it all over again. So let's continue. Next up, we have, oh my God, this woman inspires me so much, Palak Arora. Let me just give a shout out to this woman. She's just amazing. And I thank her for sending this amazing voice note.
I'll try to pick it up where we left off. And I think I was trying to say that that was the heaviest that I was, and most of the change in thinking about my body came very recently in, I would say, grad school even, where I had to really change my attitude towards it, from not focusing on weight as much, but focusing a bit more on my health. So telling myself that it's okay to be, want to be healthy, to eat healthy, to exercise. And anyway, when I do all of those things, I feel better about myself, about my body, even if it is not tied to weight. But so that's been a very recent development, I would say. And it's still a work in progress. There's lots and lots of learnings to do around that. It's one thing to have body positive images, and it's another to really celebrate the flaws that come with your body. So I think weight is not it. There's so much more to it than that. Seeing stretch marks online, seeing real skin online is, I think, it's really important. And I was just mentioning a page that I follow and I love, which is I Weigh by Jamal. She does a lot of work on this. And I think that I really pay attention to that. And it's a daily reminder. There are definitely some days where a lot of it is not good and you're feeling like shit about yourself, et cetera, et cetera. And I think reminding yourself of that this body was given to you and you have to take care of it and treat it the way it deserves to be treated is a hard reminder. I also try to remind myself using Sikh religion as a tool, because I think growing up, well, at least the religion is the religion that I grew up in, and a lot of it is around accepting your bodies the way they are, the natural bodies for men and women both. I think keeping your body hair is a very important part of being Sikh and practicing Sikh. So these, like, even though the cultural part of it was very negative, I think some of the positivity is actually embedded in the religion. So I try to remind myself of that. But it's a tough relationship. It's definitely an ongoing one.
I really like that. Also, I want to apologize. Palak's first bit where she talks about her childhood and like what happened before she went to university got cut off because the internet wouldn't load it. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. But yeah. I really enjoyed that Palak mentioned that the struggle is every day, you know? And she has found ways to embrace her body. And I think it's so important to note that each one of us has different ways of, I don't know, coping. I don't think coping is the right word, but like celebrating ourselves. And I really enjoyed that Palak used the word celebrating because, yeah, having a positive image of yourself is good, but also accepting and acknowledging and being aware of your flaws, but really celebrating and taking ownership of them is really, truly the best thing there is. And, you know, I really do hope we all go towards that step. Next up, we have Rita, who has been my BFF since the childhood. And she's also one of my body image queens. I really look up to her and I love her confidence, and she's just an all-around beautiful, intelligent, amazing woman. So let's listen to what Rita has to say.
Okay, take two. When I was growing up, I think especially as a preteen, that's when, like, body image issues started coming around. I was a really, not super tall, but, like, I was pretty big for, like, my age. I was never, like, stick thin as a kid. I always had really big muscles and legs, and I liked to run. I was always really strong. When I was, like, 3 years old, I could, like, pick up other kids. By the time I was six, I could, like, pick up my teachers. I had, like, a teacher that was, like, 6 feet tall, and I was 6 years old and could, like, literally lift her off the ground. So, like, I was not, like, a small child. By the time I was a preteen, I started definitely feeling, like, body image things. Because I think at, like, that age when you're young, a lot of kids are, like, really, really small, and, like, you're not, and then you start, like, wondering, especially because I gained a lot of weight when I was sort of 9 or 10, so I was, like, chubbier, so yeah, a lot of self-image issues there, but, and I think also being, like, mixed, and growing up in a school where I had mostly Eastern European white friends, the, like, standard was a lot different. And the way that I compared myself to my friends when I was a kid was a lot different. Because we had, like, very different bodies, but, like, you don't see that when you're a kid. You, like, just sort of wonder why you don't look like them. But then when I got to high school, it was the first time that, like, I met friends that were from my background. And there were these, like, 5 girls at school that were, like, all black and all, like, celebrated and loved my body. And we're like, what are you talking about? Like, why don't you love your thighs? Like, why don't you love your ass? Like, why don't you love all these things? And I was like, oh, like, these things are normal. And then that was when I was, like, 14 or so. And then, like, after that, after they said those things to me and I started spending more time with them and, like, just realizing that, like, my body just, there was nothing wrong with my body. My body just wasn't white. And after that, I just loved it. And, like, since then, I haven't really had any self-image issues since I was a preteen, like, early teenager. I just, like, love the body I have, and, yeah, don't really have any issues. It's, like, functional. It's powerful, and it does for me what I need it to do when I need it to do it.
Yeah. I think at the end of the day, we really gotta appreciate our bodies for the function it does for us. And although a lot of people tell us how our body should be and how we should be, we have to realize that our bodies are for us. We are the ones in control of it. And no matter what other people say, you're not controlling my arms, so you shouldn't have to control my body image as well, you know? Shut your mouth, you know? That's what you have to say to the person. And, yeah, and also I grew up in the same environment as Rita, and it was very true. It was very, like, Eurocentric, like, white people surrounded. And you have a lot of image issues when you're growing up, you know, because when you are served just one type of look, and you look so different from them. But I'm really happy that Rita found friends who could, you know, give her that insight. Because she's very, very beautiful. Next up is my friend Max, my caretaker, my ex-roommate. Love, 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 love.
Hey, girl. I hope all is well. So throughout my whole life, I've been very comfortable with my body image. I find that weight is just a number, even though currently I am trying to lose weight, but that's more for my health than my body image. And I guess it's a plus if my clothes are getting a little bit looser. But basically, since I've hit puberty, I've never really looked at myself in a way where I have to pinpoint and pinpoint what I like, what I don't like. I've also been surrounded by very positive, like, women who are also very comfortable with their body. So I never really had too many moments in my life, like, growing up, where I felt like I had to judge myself and compare myself to other people. I do some days do wish that I don't feel so bloated, I don't feel so big, But overall, I've always really enjoyed my own body image. Let's say when I was 16, I used to be 115 pounds. And now I'm like over 200 pounds. But it never really like hit me like, oh, I'm this many pounds, I'm fat. No, it's more like, which jeans can complement my body shape? I always like to adapt to my body shape and my body image versus trying to be negative and trying to find out what I have to fix, you know? And I find that when I'm confident in my skin and in my body, then it radiates outwards and people notice that. And no matter what size you are, like for me personally, I still love it just the way I am. Like, I don't mind showing a bit of stomach. I don't mind showing a bit of, you know, back fat. Like, it doesn't really matter as long as I'm happy with how I feel right now and like my body image in total. Same thing when I was in high school in CJEP. I pretty much eat what I wanted to. I did gain weight over time. I moved out, stress, university happened. So of course I was always gaining weight little by little, but I knew that was happening, but I still chose to just not really care too much about the weight gain and focus more on how I feel. And I always felt fine. I always felt happy with myself. And if I ever not felt happy, I always went to the gym, or I could, like right now I'm doing ketogenic diet. So I really like doing that. It's great for my mind. It makes me more awake, but not just for the weight loss, but more for an overall health effect. So in conclusion, I just want to say that even from when I was younger till now, my concept of my body image, my personal body image, has been around the same: to be comfortable with what I have and just to radiate in confidence. And especially, like, you know, when we go out too, we love to dress up, we love to put makeup on. Like, nothing really stops us from, you know, protruding who we really are. And like, my body image is important to me because it reflects my style and reflects like the type of person I am. And I want people to see that I'm like a very bright and happy and confident person. I hope this was okay.
Thank you, Max, for that. And I think listening to Max's experience, it reminds me that not everyone has the same, you know, like, struggle or issues. Other people really love their bodies. Other people feel celebrated. And that is also okay, too. You also don't have to, you know, like, be like, oh, my God, everyone else has this. I should have this. No. If you love yourself, you love yourself. You go on loving yourself, okay? All right. We have two more left. Next one is Anna. And let's listen.
Wow, it's the first time that I am doing this here. How do I feel about my body right now? You know what? I was a little bit concerned lately because I am in my early 20s. And I experienced changes in my body. But I hadn't seen it in a long time. Like, my hips growing. And I realized this by changing sizes with jeans. And I was freaking out because I was like, oh my God, I'm gaining weight. But then I was thinking like, okay, I am becoming a woman, so these changes have to happen. And it's okay, you know, like, I feel really comfortable with my body right now. I'm not too concerned about what I eat, but like, what makes me happy and what makes my body feel good and if it's healthy for me. So I feel pretty good with my body. When I was younger, I used to care a lot about being skinny, because when I was way, way younger, I used to get a little bit bullied. I used to get a little bit bullied for being overweight. So when I was younger, I used to think, you know, like, I want to be skinnier and I want to be this and that. I want to be prettier. I don't want to have pimples. But now that I'm older, I realize that those things don't mean shit. It's like, is most importantly how comfortable are you with yourself, and that means like eating healthy, eating things that make you happy and that make your body like vibrate and feel energized. So yes, but I'm still working on loving myself, you know, like sometimes we all have those days you're like, fuck, shouldn't have eaten that donut, but it was so fucking good.
yes Anna, that donut was good and I'm glad you ate it. And I think like a common theme that I'm sure you all are hearing is that not every day is the same. We're not going to wake up every day being like, ah, I'm amazing. I'm looking bomb. I'm just feeling ooh, you know. There will be days when you're just, you know, down and out and you don't, you know, you don't feel 100%. But it's important to realize that feeling is not forever. And your value at the end of the day is so beyond your body, you know, how you look, how others perceive you, your weight. At the end of the day, weight is just kilograms. They will change, they will fluctuate. But who you are inside, the foundation of who you are is, you know, it's not going to change. And people should truly love you for who you are. And every one of my friends, I love them for who they are. I don't care what their body looks like. My job as a friend is to be there to support them and love them through whatever struggle they're going through and, you know, accept them for whatever they're feeling. Because it's honestly not my job or not my place to govern them, to tell them how to be, you know. And that's not nice. You shouldn't be nice like that, you know. You should respect your friend. So we have one more last one, and this one is a bit longer. It's about 5 minutes, and it was done with my friend Florencia. And Florencia is an amazing person. She's my coworker, and yeah, she's amazing. We're going to get to Florencia's story experience right after a short break. But don't go away, because on Sparkling Introspection, we will be back with more juicy stories, and we're discussing body image. You're listening to Erdene on Sparkling Introspection on CGLO 1690 AM. Don't go away.
Are you looking to advertise your upcoming event at an affordable price? CGLO's got you covered. From on-air ads to website banners and even live broadcasts, we got it all. Check out www.cjlo.com/advertise for more information and the ways we can help you promote your event. CJLO, we're getting louder.
Listen up, people. We have some special tea for you.
Every Thursday at 3 p.m., you should be tuned in to Keeping It Real with Annabelle and Sharuma.
Our weekly radio show tackles race, relationships, politics, and more.
We like to think of ourselves as a blend of Oprah and The Real.
And a dash of Wendy Williams. Listen to us for a good dose of shade, laughter, and education. Only on CJLO 1690 AM in Montreal.
And we are back on Sparkling Introspection on CJLO 1690 AM. I am Erdene. I'm so happy and chirped today. Right before the break, we were listening to some personal testimonies, personal experiences of some of my friends. And I know they were all unedited, super organic. I just want to like keep it like that so that y'all know it's real people. You know, it's just not me using different voices, but they are my real friends. And again, I want to thank all of them for actually taking time to share their stories, you know. We have one more left. And this one, like I mentioned, it'll be a little longer. And it's with my friend, Florencia. Boom.
I think I've been concerned about my body image ever since I have a memory of it. I'm the only one, and growing up, I was the only one in my family who was short and black hair and who looked Latino. My siblings all are blonde, blue-eyed, whatever. My older sister is a ballerina, so she had a ballerina body all the time. My mom grew up, well, she was a vegetarian and she was like a yogi, so very natural oriented. So we always took care of what we ate, but it was like in a health sense kind of thing. My mom, like back, I grew up in Mexico, and there wasn't any like organic stores yet when I was growing up. So my dad would like import meat from the States so that like we ate like organic meat. Because my dad wanted us to eat meat, and my mom said, like, only if it's organic. And, yeah, that's what happened. And then I started hearing comments about how, like, I had a different body from my family because my sister, as I said, like, she was tall and a ballerina and whatever. And, like, I had my grandma's body, so I have, like, big legs and whatever. And I didn't want that. I wanted to be more like my mom and more like my sister. And then all of my friends were like very thin and stuff. But like basic, like girls growing up, they're thin. Usually, most of them, many. But then I started like puberty very early. So I was the only one of my friend groups like having to wear a bra or like having hips or whatever. And I saw that as like super shameful and super bad. I tried to hide it any way I could. And people noted that I had boobs and like stuff like that. And I didn't like that. I was also very tall by that age. So I started like to think, I also felt rejected because I was like an outcast because of that and for other issues. Like I was just generally like the yogi mom was kind of a reason to be an outcast. And I also, I'm very vocal. So that was another reason. Like I talked too much and like, I don't know, said the wrong things, I guess. I was also like very mature for my age. So I want to have friends in my group. So I felt like, okay, if no one's going to like me for who I am, then at least physically they'll like me. So I started dieting and stuff like that very young. I think I started when I was like 9. I started before, like cutting down on cookies or like stuff you hear from the aunties, you know. Mm-hmm. But then like by 9, I like took the decision that I was going to get fit and like be super, I don't know, pretty. I started like rubbing myself on like the Cold Heat Extreme kind of creams that like are supposed to burn fat. My dad would like buy them and I would like sneak into his bathroom and put them on. And he would buy also diet pills, so I would like eat them, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, no one noticed. And then when I was 10, I decided that I would like definitely stop eating. So it was like stop eating my lunches. And I was starving, of course, at school. So, like, I once gave a bite to my sandwich. And, like, it was, like, a huge failure on my idea. So I tried to vomit. I couldn't. I never could. But after that, I, like, decided that I was going to skip every single lunch. And I started skipping meals, whatever. Went through a whole eating disorder 10 years. It's been 10 years. I've gone through different treatment centers, through like the traditional treatment, and through like alternative treatment, through like inpatient, outpatient, whatever you want. And I think like up to this day, I think I'm like on my body image. It's not that I don't see myself that I am thin. I do know that I'm thin. I don't see the distortion. I'm also not unhappy with my body, but I'm also not proud of it. So it's a shame. It's shameful for me to be this thin, but at the same time, I cannot allow myself mentally and physically to weigh more because I wouldn't be able to cope with it yet. I'm not in that stage of my recovery. But also I'm very grateful that 10 years of starvation, and I'm telling you, like, legit starvation, and that I'm still alive and my body's still functioning. So it's like a gratitude, but at the same time, like, a burden that I have to carry. I've come to the realization that, yeah, I'm going to get osteopenia and osteoporosis when I'm, like, 30, you know? And that's hard, but that's also a decision that I made. So it's like, realizing that my health is on my own hands.
Thank you, Florencia, for sharing that. And for anyone who didn't know, I personally didn't know what subpoena is when you get like holes in your bones. Just thought I should throw it out there. And when I was talking to Florencia, one thing that I like realized, and again, not even with just Florencia, I was just talking to all my friends, something that I noticed was that we were all very aware of our bodies from a very young age. You know, like Florencia said, she started dieting even before age of 9. And the statistics show that there are girls who are youngest, like 6 years old, who have started dieting. And that says a lot about the society that we're living in. And even though right now there's a lot of conversation about body positivity, body image. Are we really doing enough to ensure that people are truly loving and celebrating their bodies? Because I still feel like society is still putting so much pressure, so much myth out into the world that in turn becomes a lot of pain for a lot of people. We're also different, yet we're told to fit into one box. We're told to be a certain way. And I think that's unfair. It's unhealthy, and we can all see what kind of effect it has on people. There are so many people who are just silently suffering, who have no support system, who have no way or tools to speak out, you know? Because there is a lot of stigma about body image, body dysmorphia, eating disorders. And I really hope that, you know, hearing these first-person accounts of these real women's struggles and celebrations, that you yourself will take it easy on yourself, you know? Appreciate yourself and appreciate all the things that your body does for you and all the things that you do for your body. And, you know, shut out the outside world no matter what they say, because at the end of the day, we are very aware of ourselves and we know what's good for us. It doesn't matter what others say, really. And I know we live in a society where we consume media all the time, you know? We spend so much time on our phones, on the internet, and we see these things sold to us. We see these women, celebrities, drinking diet teas, taking these pills, vitamins that apparently make you, like, super skinny, slim, thick in, like, 2 hours. That is not the truth. And maybe you realize, maybe I realize that that's not the truth. That's not possible. There are a lot of young people out there who are impressionable, who don't have the same knowledge and awareness, who haven't had the opportunity to dig into this, who will fall for that. And they will order these pills, which just make you poop your pants all the time, you know? And I've tried laxatives. They are terrible for you. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I haven't tried diet fads. I have. I couldn't last on it. That's why I'm here, loving my double rolls, triple rolls, my double chin. You know what? I have no shame in them. I love them. I celebrate them. And so should you. Just before we go, we are running out of time a little bit. I want to talk about, even though there are so many, you know, negative influences out there in the media right now, Palak mentioned this earlier in her voice note about this British activist, Jamila Jamil, who started a movement and called I Weigh, and they have an Instagram page, and their Instagram page is just filled with amazing, amazing things of people sending in pictures of themselves, and they just have written, I weigh myself on my success, on the fact that I'm a great mom, on my, you know, relationship, on my beautiful shiny hair, or like on my amazing cooking skills, or, you know, on the fact that I wake up in the morning. And it just, I weigh, and what Jamila Jamil is doing takes away the power from society, you know, the power from big institutions and others from telling us and valuing us on our weights. Our flesh, body, fat does not define who we are. At the end of the day, they are our temple, our vessel, and we will protect them and we should protect them. But they are not what determine our value. And like I said, it's what's inside that determines your value. I don't want to start singing, but I really recommend y'all should check out Jamila Jamil's Instagram page, I_way. It's just so incredible and so nice and reassuring to see all these people taking the power back, reclaiming their bodies, and telling people really, you know, their amazing stories, because we all go through so much in our lives and we accomplish so many amazing things. Just a woman who sent in their voice notes today, I know personally that they go through so much. They work so hard. They are incredible. They're doing work that is important, that is hard. And their body is just you know, one slice of the pizza. And they should determine how that slice of pizza looks like and not others. Not me, not you, but them. Yes. And I love Jamila Jamil. And she's also, Jamila Jamil also like is the one who is on Twitter and on the internet making a bunch of noise and like calling out celebrities for promoting these crazy, crazy diet fads.